taking a look at a new book out by Doug Moe. The book is titled The Right Thing to Do, Kit Saunders, Nordine, and the Rise of Women's Intercollegiate Athletics at the University of Wisconsin and Beyond. Great fun talking with him. And I hope you'll join in with your own questions at 800-642-1234 or email to ideas@wpr.org. Let's take a call from Roger in La Crosse. Roger, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Larry. Hi, Doug. I had a question. I've been listening to this conversation, and it's really interesting, and I know women's sports are always evolving. And I was just wondering what your opinion would be of the transgender community now participating in women's athletics.
Well, that's a great question. And, you know, I'm a historian more than I am a present-day guy. But that's the next central discussion, I guess. I don't really have a solid opinion one way or another. I'm very much pro transgender. I've done magazine columns on transgender individuals. You move it into the sports arena, it does get a little tougher, I think. And I'm certainly not the most qualified to answer. It's a good question, however.
Yeah, it is a good question. Roger, thanks for calling. Someone else may have a comment on it as well. Stella in Sturgeon Bay will give you a chance. Hi, Stella.
Hi. I graduated from high school in 1966, so I was not affected by Title IX. And it was, I grew up in a household with two brothers, a father and a mother, and my mother and I had zero interest in sports. My father and brothers were just avid sports fans, and they subscribed to the Capital Times. And I remember so vividly the first time the males in our household would just be avidly consume the sports page every time it came out. And I had zero interest in it until the first time there was an article on women's sports. Either it was a profile or it was reporting on the performance of a woman's team. And I just was fascinated by it. It just grabbed my attention. So it was like a night and day experience for me in terms of interest in the sports page.
Stella, thanks so much. That's probably true for a lot of people.
Well, and take it a step further. A lot of the argument in the early days about, where should we financially support women's athletics, and it would come back, well, they don't draw attendance to the games. They don't draw people in. Well, the problem was they weren't getting the kind of newspaper coverage and television coverage that would, like with our last caller, allow them to become excited about it and boost that attendance. So it was a catch-22 back in those days.
And, some of the earlier, as you point out in the book, and quoting Kit on this, a lot of people would approach Kit and say, well, they're not making any money for the university. How can we possibly afford this? And she would point out, look, there are a bunch of men's sports that aren't making any money either, and they seem to find room for them.
Right. I think there was, men's football, basketball, and hockey to a degree. But beyond that, all the other men's sports were non-income. And Kit actually got placed in charge of all the non-income sports in the 80s. Her job title shifted a little bit. But, that gets back to right at Title IX time in 1973, I think it was, where I quote a letter from a women faculty member to the chancellor, saying, yes, we understand that the economics of this are difficult. We will share in the fact that you can't fund all your sports, but don't tell us you're not going to just not fund ours,
Phyllis in Windsor, we'll give you a chance now. Hi, Phyllis.
Hi there. So here's my question, and thanks for writing this book, but I grew up in Ohio, and my mother in the 1930s played basketball, and they could run the full court. We didn't have actually We only had Girls Athletic Association. It wasn't really, you know, a full-scale sport. But when I played in the 60s, we could only, like, bounce three times. We couldn't cross that middle line. So what happened between the 1930s and the 1960s?
Well,
did that happen in Wisconsin, too?
It's a great question. You know, famously in Iowa, which was huge for girls basketball, but they only played half court, six players half court for the longest time. I don't know if this exactly answers the question, but that woman I referenced at the top of our interview, I think I mentioned Blanche Trilling, she was very forceful, and the non-competition forces within women's physical education around the country were very forceful, and not out of malice, I don't think necessarily, but just they really believed that you could participate, but you didn't need to play competitively. And Kidd actually found old Badger yearbooks back in the 1910s, and that showed women playing competitive, you know, intramural, but playing games where people kept score, you know, and they had a crowd there. Once Trilling and that mindset came in the 20s, as Kidd said in one of her Wisconsin Oral History Program interviews that I quote, she said, "It just went away for 40 or 50 years."
Yes.
And, you know, it took some things in the 60s, the women's movement, you know, a few other things to energize it again.
Yeah, well, and Title IX.
Well, of course. In the 70s, Title IX.
Oh, Phyllis, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. So, Kidd fought for a lot of things. I mean, scholarships were another big
area. Yeah, that's an odd one, Larry, because when she was first broaching scholarships in the 70s, there were a lot of her athletes on campus who didn't want the women themselves to get athletic scholarships. They thought it would be unfair because some would not get them, and they didn't want to have some, you know... And they saw a slippery slope, I think, to some of the things they didn't like about the men's sports. Of course, that pretty quickly went away, and fortunately now women can get athletic scholarships.
Well, and the slippery slope, I guess they sloped in, I guess. And I don't know but a slippery slope to a good thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean... But again, that was part of this whole idea of competition and, you know, bright lights, big city. Is this what we want to do? You know, is it the best thing for our young women to play, you know, highly competitive athletics? And I think the answer now pretty clearly is yes. But back then, it wasn't, at least not to everybody.
So as you think about her career, Kidd's career, how do you sort of summarize her career and her impact? You got a couple minutes to do that, but go ahead.
Well, I think it's just all the things that we've said previously. She, she came right, you know, in the mid-60s when slowly but surely, I think it was the 60 Olympics that women started to be able to run distance again in the Olympics. There was some early movement of towards competition for women. And she took that ball and really ran with it. And again, not to repeat myself, but thank goodness for us here in Madison that she had the personality that she did, where she could get along and not alienate people, and yet had a steadfast belief in the right thing to do was to encourage women to be the best competitive athletes they could be. She had that stint nationally. She got out pretty early. She retired in 1990, age 50.
Yeah.
I interviewed Peter Tagan, her hugely successful cross country and track coach. And Peter said, "I think she was exhausted. She fought a battle."
Yeah.
But I want to make a quick shout out too to her her husband Buzz Nordine, who you know, Kit always said she retired. Buzz was having so much fun in retirement that I retired too, and they stayed very strong advocates for UW sports. And the Nordine family was really responsible for me being able to do this book. So,
yeah,
good on them.
I'm so glad they met and had that life together that they had.
Yeah, and as I say, huge Badger fans. I mean, they were at every game.
Well, Doug, you have written a fascinating book. I hope you sell a million copies. thanks so much for spending
time. Well, great
time.
To be here in person, Larry.
Yeah,
yes,
it's good to see your bio-invasive person. Doug Moe, our guest in the book, The Right Thing to Do, Kit Saunders-Nordine and the Rise of Women's Intercollegiate Athletics. You can get it at any bookstore, I bet. Yeah, that's for sure. Any bookstore or online. Well, coming up, we're going to take a look at women in sports media. So we're going to continue with that kind of trend. In the meantime, we'll take a quick look at the news, find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network, and then we'll be back. I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. First Tuesday of the month is always our sports program day. And, of course, we can cover it other days as well. But we want to make sure we do it at least on that first Tuesday of the month. And before we get into our next program segment, I want to thank everybody who donated during our spring member drive. Support from people like Carl and Spring Green really helps ensure that you and your entire community have access to programs like this one, as well as news and statewide conversations and quality entertainment. And if you missed the drive, hey, you still have a chance to play a vital role in keeping Wisconsin informed and connected. Thank you for supporting WPR and this essential service. You could donate again at WPR.org. So we're turning our attention now to the, behind the sports talk radio mic, the TV mic, in the locker room, on the field. We're talking about what it's like for women in sports media on the show now. Kelsey Tehan is our guest. She is president of the Wisconsin chapter of the Association of Women in Sports Media. It's a nonprofit organization, a support network, advocacy group for women who want to further their careers in sports media. Kelsey's also a senior, at UW-Madison and is going to graduate school this spring with a degree in, and will be graduating this spring with a degree in journalism. And she's interned with UW Athletics. So do you wish there were more women in sports media? How would more women in the field change maybe your experience watching or listening to sports? Have you ever dreamed of becoming a professional sports broadcaster or journalist? Love to have you join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Or you could send us an email to ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. Kelsey Tehan, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Hi, Larry. Nice to meet you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Well, maybe first tell us, you're president of the Wisconsin chapter of the Association of Women in Sports Media. Talk about the goals of and so forth of your organization.
Yeah, so awesome. Association of Women in Sports Media, we like to call it AWSOME for short. It's been around for a while, but here at Wisconsin, we're very new. It's only in its fourth year. And so I've served as president the last 2 years. And really what we're just trying to do is band together women who want to go into working in this industry and let them know that they're not alone. And by doing that, we have meetings probably bi-monthly where women who work in the field currently come in and talk to us and honestly just inspire us ultimately and talk to us about what they do. They let us know kind of the struggles of what it's like being a woman working in the industry, but also give us tips for how to deal with that and how to move going forward. The sports industry is difficult to get into in general, but as a woman, that only doubles. And so getting to hear from women who have accomplished such great things and kind of been trailblazers in the industry has really just been so inspirational to young women who want to go into that. So I think it's such a great organization, and I'm so glad that we brought it to UW-Madison's campus because there's obviously so many women other than myself who have a great interest in wanting to work in sports media.
That was a friend of mine. I'm in life sciences communication department, and a friend of mine in school of journalism said he used to, on the first day of class with his freshman, he'd say, well, how many people want to get into sports journalism? Mm-hmm. And usually he said at least 80% of the people would raise their hand. They wanted to get into it. Were you active in sports yourself? Is that how you got interested? Or
I was very active in sports growing up. Played pretty much for as long as I can remember. But also, too, just being a fan of sports, I think growing up in Wisconsin, especially in Milwaukee, a sports city, has a lot to do with that. But for as long as I can remember, watching Packer games with my dad and, you know, Sports Network, like, I just became such a big fan of watching the game, let alone playing it, and talking about the game and knowing, like, stats and players and things like that. And it was something that my dad and I really bonded over, and I didn't really ever think that I could make a career out of it, but kind of took that leap of faith and have dove into it since my time at Madison, and I've enjoyed it thoroughly and know that, like, this is something I want to do for the rest of my life.
You know, I was thinking about, I mentioned this to Doug Moe. Doug was just my guest just before you came on, and his book, The Right Thing to Do, is the rise of women's intercollegiate athletics at UW is what the book is about. And I mentioned before we went on the air that I was going to be interviewing you, and he right away said, oh, I wonder if Sherry Burris will come into the conversation. And I said, well, I'm guessing Kelsey knows Sherry, or who Sherry Burris is, at least.
Yeah, actually, I had the pleasure of meeting her. She did speak at an awesome meeting for us, so that's super ironic. But no, she's definitely a woman from the School of Journalism here specifically that is kind of a trailblazer for sports broadcasters here at Wisconsin.
And she's really moving up the ranks
very quickly
at CBS, I believe.
Yep, CBS. Got to see her do some March Madness stuff, which is really cool.
So women, you know, and there's some knocking down of doors. If you think about Lisa Byington, who last September became the first full-time play-by-play female broadcaster for a professional basketball team, the Milwaukee Bucks. Why do you think it's important for more women to be involved in sports media? Let's put it that way.
I just want to start off by saying Lisa's great. And what she's done with the Bucks is amazing and super inspirational for any woman. But I think what's really important about her is that she's in a non-traditional position. Typically, when you think of women in sports media, you think of Erin Andrews, you know, a sideline reporter. But it's important because women can provide just as much as any man can into a, you know, an analytical position like she's in. And they're only going to make the sport stronger by having more diverse people brought to the table to tell these stories in sports media. So I think, you know, bringing women in is only going to make the industry better because they're bringing a different perspective that, you know, we're not used to hearing, we're not used to seeing. And I think we see that firsthand with what Lisa Byington is doing with the Bucks, for sure.
Yeah, can you go into more detail on that, on the perspective? What's different about the perspective, do you think?
Well, one argument you hear a lot is that women shouldn't be able to have these positions because they've never played the sport, which isn't always true, but typically that comes into play when we talk about football. And While yes, there is definitely an advantage to having played the sport, being a broadcaster, there's also the advantage to have not played the sport because you're studying it from a different angle that, you know, the average fan also has. So maybe you're able to break things down for people that the average fan who also hasn't played, you can do that.
Yeah, it makes sense. Kelsey Tehan, our guest today, president of the Wisconsin chapter of the Association of Women in Sports Media. Questions for her. I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us at ideas@wpr.org. Have you ever thought about being a professional sports broadcaster or journalist? Maybe questions about the career itself. Again, 800-642-1234, email to ideas@wpr.org. By the way, somebody wondered, what's your favorite memory with your time with this chapter, by the way?
I think one of my favorite times has been when Olivia Harlan Decker came in and spoke to us. She's someone who I've always looked up to, just the connection that she has to Wisconsin, the Green Bay Packers. Obviously, knowing her husband is Sam Decker, who's a big, you know, Wisconsin basketball alum here. So I really loved having her come and talk to us. She's talked to us multiple times. And I think it's just so cool to see how many people that are our age follow her, because without a doubt, she brings the most people to our meetings whenever we have her come speak. So she's just a really great, inspirational woman. And gives such great advice, and a lot of that stems from who her dad is, Bob Harlan, being one of the best in the business in sports broadcasting. So she's able to tell us really cool things from a perspective that other women in the field aren't able to talk about.
Yeah, and just for background, for those who aren't familiar, Olivia covers, trying to remember her the team she covers and so forth.
Yeah, so right now she's actually kind of sort of on a maternity leave. She's pregnant right now.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Yeah,
about that.
So she's been doing this podcast with BetMGM Sports called Unleashed, but in the past she's worked mostly with college football, being a reporter for Westwood One.
What barriers do you think you and other young women sports journalists face? What are the barriers to getting in?
You know, I think there's physical ones, one of those being the locker room. Like, that's just a place that we aren't able to get ourselves in where other reporters are. But I also think there's things as far as the judgment that we receive from coworkers, even as far as whether or not we're knowledgeable about a subject. Whereas my male counterparts, it's kind of like assumed that they know these things, whereas women are questioned a lot, like, oh, like, how do you know that? Or why do you know that? Or are you sure you can do this? And it's kind of like, yes, I can. And I think that another thing that kind of goes hand in hand with that is we just have such a smaller margin of to make error in this field. We're already kind of put under a microscope, assumed that we don't know as much, or that we're not as smart as males are in this field when it comes to sports knowledge. And so because of that, you just are kind of put under a microscope and made sure that you're not making any mistakes. And even if you do make a mistake, everyone makes mistakes, that happens, but it's really just brought more to attention if a woman makes mistakes rather than a male.
So lots of, yeah, those are pretty good physical judgment. And, you know, I wonder why it is that a guy, I mean, you can take somebody off the street, a guy that's probably watched sports, but doesn't, it's assumed that that person would know more than you would know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It doesn't make sense sometimes to me as the father of daughters. Mm-hmm. Here. So I'm certainly with you. You've interned at UW Athletics, and some of my students from my department have interned there as well. and have had good experiences. But talk about your experience there and what it's taught you and helped you with.
Yeah, I mean, I can't thank the athletic department enough for the experiences that they've given me. I intern with the brand communications department, so I work a lot doing social media, writing for the website, working press conferences, interviewing coaches, players, things like that. And these last 2 years, I've had the honor of getting to work with the football team. And thanks to my supervisors, Kelly Steffes, who's the first woman to ever work with Wisconsin football in the communication side of things, as well as my other bosses, Brian Lucas and Brian Mason, they've kind of made a spot for me. And I think that that is something that is so important, is that we need to make room for women, and not just in women's sports, because it's also kind of assumed like, oh, like you're a woman, you should build up the women's sports. And yeah, that's great. But also, like, why can't I be a woman working in a men's sport and building up other women who want to work in men's sports as well? And so they've just done such a good job of kind of throwing me in there and giving me opportunities that I don't think other interns have really had before. And I think being a woman has made that, you know, even more important to me, just seeing that, like, I can do this. And having a mentor like Kelly has been so amazing, getting to see what she's done and kind of the path that she's made for herself, and letting me see what that's like for my side of things, and giving me all the advice that I need on how to deal with certain situations, some uncomfortable situations being a woman working a male sport. And now she's out on maternity leave, and I've gotten to work with my male bosses, Brian Mason and Brian Lucas, and I can't thank them enough for all the responsibility that they've given me to kind of really take over a lot of the social media now that Kelly's out. And yeah, it's been such a great experience with the UW Athletic Department. And as a woman, they've supported me beyond what I could ever imagine.
Yeah, I think that was the great thing about internships like that. I mean, you get kind of thrown into it, but it also helps to have understanding people to work for, or people who are professionals, as we have here, to give you the kind of background that you need in order to succeed down the role, down the way. What are goals? What kind of goals do you have coming? You're going to graduate in.
Yeah. Don't remind me.
In what is it?
It's a little under 2 weeks.
Under 2 weeks. I know my last class is tomorrow. So an exam week is the next week, and then you're out of here. So what were you headed?
Goodness, great question. I've been getting this a lot lately, though. You know, right now I'm kind of in the process of interviewing with places, and that's been a lot with finals and all that, but someday, you know, I really hope to be working in the NFL, whether that be in the communication side of things, or I would even love to be a part of upper management or work in a college athletic department and be some type of athletic director. I just think, you know, the ceiling is so high, and I want to, like, continue to prove for the women that are coming behind me, because I know the women in front of me prove that, like, there really is no limit to what we can do in this industry. So I'd love to be in a position of higher authority, like in an athletic department or even for some type of NFL team. But starting out right now, I definitely think I'll be heading towards communication positions and social media positions with NFL teams.
With an NFL team. Well, that's great. The, I was thinking back to a few of my other students have worked at the Big Ten Network on internships, and one of them does some live work there. But they've all been men. I don't know if there are women in that. I imagine there are women in the Big Ten Network and internships for women in the Big Ten Network.
Yeah, there are. One who's up and coming is Emily Eman, and she was a former volleyball player at Northwestern, and she's been a huge part of the Big Ten Network this last year, and she's a great, great face for women who want to work in the industry.
So if you're looking up to women, just here as we're starting to wind down here in the last minute or two, as you think about the women who have been most influential in your life when it comes to this field, who do you look to?
You know, a couple of years ago, I probably would have said a lot of big names like Erin Andrews, Carissa Thompson, Jen Latta. And while those women are all so amazing at what they do and they still inspire me, I have like looked up more to people who the women that I work with every day at the athletic department so much, because getting to see what they do every day and have a personal connection to them has been so influential for me, and getting to learn from them and work with them. I really just think that that has been so valuable to me in my experiences here. So Kelly Steffes is probably the number one person that I look up to every day when I think of, you know, who I want to be as a woman in this industry.
Well, you don't have you've got a really good role model there. She's a good person, a very good person. And it's been fun talking with you, and you're good luck now graduating in a couple of weeks.
Thank
Are you going
to
keep in ties with the association?
Yes, absolutely. It's a national organization, so I'll keep up my membership and attend events when I can. But it's been, I mean, that was ultimately what led me to my internship with UW. So I'm forever indebted to the Association of Women in Sports Media.
Kelsey, thanks so much for taking time to be with us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Kelsey Tehan, our guest, president of the Wisconsin chapter of the Association of Women in Sports Media. I always enjoy the first Tuesday of the month when we have a chance to talk about sports. And we usually get a pretty broad range of topics that we deal with. And it was fun today to talk both with her and also with Doug Moe about his book, The Right Thing to Do. Kit Saunders-Nordine, who was in and of itself, if you wanted somebody to be to look up to, you could really look up to Kit Saunders-Nordine, too, for the work she did as the first women's athletic director at the UW-Madison, for sure. Well, I'm looking ahead here to tomorrow on the show. It's a Wednesday, obviously, and that means it's time for our wildlife update. And we have lots to talk about tomorrow. We can talk about the turkey hunting season. I know they want to talk about frog calls, and we'll talk about the fishing season opener this weekend and a whole lot more. That's tomorrow at 11. Right here on the Ideas Network. In the meantime, though, stay with us. Lots in store. I'm Larry Mueller.